said, I'm from the same research group that Matt was presenting. And it's not necessarily a follow-up study, but it's very related. It's working with the same hydrous manganese oxide. And Matt mentioned the problems of arsenic as a pollutant in agriculture. And of course, we know in agriculture there's a heterogeneous soil and there's a lot of nutrients present. And so the question I wanted to look at is, what's the influence of some nutrients or competing anions on these reactions? And today I'll talk about phosphate and sulfate. So this is the general reaction for arsenite oxidation to arsenate on the manganese oxide surface. What we see is we have hydrous manganese oxide, which is present, and we can introduce some arsenite. Now the arsenite will react with that surface. It's going to bind to it very rapidly, and immediately upon binding to the surface, there'll be an electron transfer reaction, and we get the production of arsenic 5 and manganese 2. Now, the manganese 2 comes from reductive dissolution, and the arsenic 5 is the oxidation product. And both of these may be in solution, or they may bind back to the surface. One thing that I've done is to look at this is similar to Matt's work, is to look at the rapid kinetics on the mineral-liquid interface. And for this, I developed a rapid scan FTIR technique, which allows us to collect data at about 2.5 second resolution. So at this, every 2.5 seconds, we're averaging 24 scans at an 8-wave number resolution, and we can get a lot of data points, basically. And this is important because we can see what's happening in the initial reaction. And this initial 1-2 minutes may comprise a significant portion of the total reaction. And when we do these experiments, we just first look at the spectra at a range of pHs. We see that the arsenite peak, which would be present in the purple region over here, is very rapidly oxidized to arsenate, and we get quite a bit of reaction happening at 15 seconds, 30 seconds, 1 minute. As we go beyond 1 minute, the peak area doesn't really change as a function of time. And this is true at all the pHs that are shown here. And if we look at all of the individual spectra, so the peak area represented for arsenate, basically this green area versus time, we see this rapid oxidation occurring where a large portion of the reaction, this initial reaction, is completed in minutes, with half the reaction, this initial reaction, taking place in less than 1 minute. And I saw this same sort of effect for a range of concentrations, range of pH, and also using a synthetic acid burnicite. So one thing that you see actually on this previous slide is that plateau. What's causing that plateau to happen is most likely there's, you know, the reaction stopping very quickly. Or maybe it's not stopping, but it's definitely slowing down. And arsenic 5 sorption and manganese 2 sorption could be reducing the ability of this mineral to carry out further oxidation. We may have the formation of a manganese oxide arsenic 5 mineral, as shown in this diagram from Manning, or the manganese 2 may just be binding to the surface. And to demonstrate this, I did a very simple experiment where I took the HMO and reacted with arsenic 3, let the reaction go out until basically all the arsenite was converted to arsenate. So this is the black peak, is peak for arsenite, and then as it's converted to arsenate, we get this sort of a maroon-red peak. And then that same already pre-reacted HMO, I added more arsenic 3, and what you see is the peak area for arsenate, this area right about here, doesn't change, but we do start to, the peak area for arsenite is essentially added to it. And so we see that this mineral is no longer capable of carrying out this oxidation. And this was, you know, these are things that we're seeing, that this mineral after 10 minutes can't really oxidize more arsenite to arsenate. So the question comes up is, in the environment, we have a lot of things present that can bind to that surface, such as sulfate and phosphate. And so how do these compounds influence these reaction rates? And I decided to look at sulfate and phosphate first, very common in agriculture. Sulfate will have a negative 2 charge at both pHs, but phosphate's a really good one to look at because the structure, pKa values are almost identical to that of arsenic, with, of course, phosphoric and arsenic switched. So I'll just get right into the same rapid scan FTIR results. We see there is a difference between the pH 6 and pH 9 results, where at pH 9 there doesn't seem to be a great influence in the presence of phosphate and sulfate on the reaction rate. However, at pH 6 we see this decrease in the reaction rate slightly, and certainly we see a decrease in the capacity. The peak area is much smaller for arsenate when sulfate and phosphate are present. So most likely there's some sort of binding of phosphate and sulfate initially, which reduces sites for arsenic 3 to bind and carry out the oxidation rate. As we get to the higher pH, the pKa for arsenite is 9.1, so the arsenite more likely can outcompete phosphate and sulfate for these sites, and we don't really see a difference in these reactions. Just to look at the spectra, these are spectra for 24-hour reactions, so this is much longer. What we see is very interesting is the difference between when phosphate and sulfate are reacted. Here on the bottom spectra, this maroon one, is just arsenic 3 oxidized to arsenate on the mineral surface. And the blue is when sulfate is present at the same time, and then this green line is when phosphate is present. So as we extend the reaction time, phosphate actually increases the ability for the oxidation of arsenite to arsenate. We see a similar trend at pH 6. So if we were to just convert these two concentrations, and so we can look at sort of the efficiency of conversion, we see that at pH 6, we basically don't change. We go from about 17 to 18 or 20 to 22 millimoles converted, and it doesn't change over the 24-hour period. But if you look at the data for phosphate, particularly the pH 9, that the reaction continues after the initial reaction shutdown. And again, probably due to the absorption of phosphate and sulfate, or particularly in this case, phosphate. And as the reaction proceeds, we get a little bit of manganese 2 entering the solution as we oxidize to arsenate. That manganese 2 can then react with the bound phosphate, perhaps pulling it off, maybe a manganese phosphate precipitate. Of course, it's just my idea of what's happening. I don't have proof yet that this is the reason that we see increased oxidation when phosphate is present. But one way to get a better handle on it is to look at the solution chemistry. So I did some batch absorption experiments. And the first thing to do was just look and see how sulfate, phosphate, arsenate, and arsenite react when there's no competition. We see that sulfate absorption is occurring, but minimal. These green data on the bottom, the arsenate absorption, the black squares, it shows that there's more arsenate absorption, very similar to phosphate, the blue symbols. However, when arsenite is added, and of course most of it is converted to arsenate or a large portion, we get much greater retention of arsenate. So this is interesting, and it has been shown before, but sort of important to remember that we can get more arsenic absorption if we go through the oxidation process of 3 to 5 than if we start with just 5. But what happens when we have arsenic oxidation with sulfate or phosphate present? And here we have just the data for phosphate and sulfate absorption. We see over here we'll start with sulfate, that the absorption with arsenite present, the green symbols, they just drop right out. So we don't get sulfate absorption any longer if the oxidation process is happening. With phosphate, we do get absorption, but it is a significant reduction. So essentially there's some competition where arsenite is winning out and the phosphate and sulfate are coming into solution. However, some phosphate is retained. And then if we look at the arsenic absorption during the oxidation process under these different systems, we again have the arsenate here in black, but then we can see that the red symbols are the ones without competition, the blue and green are with, and the sulfate doesn't have much impact on the retention of arsenic, but the phosphate does. We get less arsenite being retained when phosphate is present. It's not that surprising. If we think about it, there's just a little bit of competition effect, and while some of the phosphate is being bumped off and allowing arsenate to come on, there's still phosphate, which limits the number of sites. And finally, when we look at the solution phase arsenic 3, so this is the unoxidized, we see that there is some remaining. There is still mineral phase remaining. So, sort of surprising. You'd think if you have mineral phase, you can visually see it, that it would just get converted to arsenic 5. However, it doesn't. This reaction is shutting down due to some sort of fouling reaction of the surface. This data is a little interesting. I don't know if it's that meaningful yet, is that the pH 9 data sits up a little higher than the pH 6 data. So there's a little bit more arsenic 3 in solution at pH 9. Now this is probably due to the pKa of arsenite again, which is at 9.1. And so we're getting we're losing a proton basically for a lot of the arsenite as we get to the higher pH. And does this mean that there's a difference in the retention? And possibly, you know, Matt mentioned that in the previous talk that there could be an arsenic 3 retention occurring, which is unexpected, at least to myself and others in the group. So this is some flow FTIR data. So these are collected every 12 seconds, and we just have an influent of arsenic 3 passing over this manganese oxide in a flow chamber, and the spectra are collected as a function of time. what we see is, if we just look at this data here, is that this area from here to here represents arsenic 5, and we get this rapid oxidation. We see arsenic 5 as we continue the reaction. We see a little bit less arsenic 5. But what's interesting is this area here, which represents arsenic 3. We come to the pH 9 data here. We see as this oxidation of arsenate decreases in the flow cell, we get this increase of arsenite. Now, so this shows that arsenite is accumulating in there. Is it absorbing? I don't know, but it's being retained. I'm detecting it, and I wouldn't expect to. So the surface fouling by arsenic 5 and manganese 2 must somehow coat the reactive sites of the mineral, therefore allowing arsenic 3 now to interact with the arsenic 5 or manganese 2, and so it appears that we can get retention of arsenic 3 on the surfaces. Just to remind everyone, what we talked about is that at pH 6 we reduce the initial rate of arsenic oxidation when phosphorus and sulfate are present, and that phosphate reduces the amount of arsenic absorption. However, it increases the ability for us to convert arsenic 3 to arsenic 5. These surface fouling reactions are obviously very important, whether it's by the reaction products or other chemicals in the soil, and we need to really think about what's going to be shutting down this reaction, or what can keep this reaction going for a longer time period if competing ions can actually bind reaction products and prevent the fouling. Also, I wanted to just say how I feel it's very important that we look at a lot of these spectroscopic studies that study the mineral water interface. Because if we're just looking at the solution phase, we centrifuge or filter, and we look at that, and then we look at the solid phase extraction or something, we could be converting. If we're doing a solid phase extraction, I think you could even be converting any bound arsenic 3 to arsenic 5 during the extraction. You would be measuring arsenic 5 when you miss out on arsenic 3. And I think that techniques that sort of probe the interface are very important so we can see what's happening at the mineral. Additionally, I want to continue doing some spectroscopy work to really find out the mechanisms responsible. It's not very clear what's happening because there's so many things happening, right? We have absorption of arsenic 3, we have oxidation, we have desorption, reabsorption happening. So obviously there needs to be a lot of work done to find out exactly what's happening in each step along this reaction process. And then finally, these 24 oxidation kinetics for the systems with phosphorus present are important because I'm under the impression that phosphate is binding initially and then it's sort of desorbing and binding to reaction products, and I'd like to trace that over at least a minimal 24-hour period. And so if you have any questions, I'd be glad to take them. They're probably much higher. I initially chose them, well, actually in the batch experiments, they're probably within range. They're millimolar, low millimolar concentration, which I believe you could see in agricultural soils. The FTIR ones were not. They were much higher, and the reason is because detection limits for arsenic are very high, so we need to have high concentrations, particularly arsenic 3. So I was working in, these are 25 to 75 millimolar, very high arsenic concentrations, and I wanted to match the concentration. So the phosphate concentrations are very high, and eventually we'll just be breaking down and start pushing the detection limit and seeing can we still, you know, detect it, and are the same processes happening. Oh, surface fouling is basically, how do you define it, but when you get things binding to the surface, if you have a pipe, and a sewage pipe, and it gets corroded, and you get all these biofilms on there, the surface becomes fouled. I guess it means ruined for the process which it's, you know, it's supposed to carry on. So in this case, surface fouling is the absorption of compounds and arsenic 5, manganese 2, which prevent the reaction from continuing on.
Last question?
You look at interaction between phosphorus and sulfate. Do you want to have to look at interaction between manganese, Fe, and after our conversion, mm-hmm. you will not have the only manganese oxide.
Right.
You will have a lot of a dioxide. And that is a very strong relationship. And mm-hmm. especially in the presence of phosphate under the reduced condition or oxidized condition, there is very, you will create very complex scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And how your study would actually answer those questions that would help in the real world.
Right.
Because it's just isolation of little studies
mm-hmm.
that, you know, it's wonderful, but how you would fit to more complex scenario?
Well, it's a good question. It's a question I think a lot of us have to think about. Because if we studied the complex, if I just did a soil reaction here, I wouldn't get much information, you know, like you wouldn't be able to get towards the mechanisms. And so the thing is, you know, we break it down, and then how do we build it back up? And right now I don't have plans to do it with iron oxide present, but it's, you know, it's a good idea, and I'll think about it now. I'm actually planning on moving on to looking at how arsenic oxidizing bacteria carry out these reactions and how those reaction rates differ. But obviously phosphate iron binding is strong, and that would be important. And of course, iron is going to be a good sink for arsenate also. So all of these things probably require studying. It's just on the time scale, whether we get to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sanjay.